Welcome.
From Lake Wissota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
I'll be with you in just a moment, folks. I'm checking my text messages. Joe Biden wants me to send him $3. Mandela Barnes is looking for $5. There's an old text I didn't answer from a Donald Trump wondering if he can bury a body on the Lake Wissota golf course. I will probably have to get back to him on that. We're going to concentrate instead for the rest of this hour on the 3rd Congressional District race in western and central Wisconsin. Brad Papp joins us. We had Rebecca Cook in our last hour, Deb Baldus McGrath in the 8 o'clock hour, Mark Newman in the 9 o'clock hour on Thursday. Brad Papp has worked for the incumbent Democratic Congressman Ron Kind. It's not the world's biggest surprise that he got the endorsement from Kind, even in a four-way primary. With that comes a lot of prestige, attention, and resources. But with it also comes, any residual baggage, because Ron Kind, had a record that was not always universally loved by every Democrat in the district. And that certainly continued on Friday when the congressman voted against an assault weapons ban, one of only five Democrats, I believe, to do that. So it's a fair question, Brad. Is that the kind of vote you would take as well? And what are you going to do as congressman if elected on gun safety issues?
Well, without a doubt, we need to focus on gun safety. That is very important. The thing is this, is that I firmly believe that we can protect the Second Amendment. At the same time, we need to keep our children safe and secure in schools. We can't have our children be fearful of going to school. The thing is what can we do? Well, immediately what we can do is we can pass universal background checks. That is something that is broadly supported in a bipartisan manner. But that next thing we need to do is we need to take a look at these ghost guns that are out there. The third thing that can be done is closing this Charleston loophole. That needs to take place. I have spoken in the past about red flags. We can protect people's due process and civil rights, but at the same time, if somebody is a threat to themselves as well as to their family members, that's where we need this red flags. And so we have to make sure we move forward there. And of course, the other thing we need to do, and Republicans talk an awful lot about mental health, well, they need to fund mental health. And I like to say that, we need to focus on that topic. Well, then let's fund it. Put their money where their mouth is. So those are five things that we can do immediately to make sure that, number one, we keep people safe, we keep them secure. And at the same time, we protect our Constitution. I think that's very important.
Well, let me seize on that for a moment. You talk about protecting the Constitution and protecting the Second Amendment, which means nothing if you're not protecting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I guess I have to ask, what constitutes not protecting the Second Amendment? Is that what an assault weapons ban is in your mind? Is that now we're not protecting the Second Amendment if we get rid of semi-automatic weapons?
Well, first of all, I think there's no place on the streets for weapons of war. I mean, let me just be absolutely clear. There's absolutely no place for weapons of war. But I think we all recognize the fact that, if people here in Wisconsin and around the country, people enjoy the outdoors. We in Wisconsin, we've got a tremendous sporting heritage, and it brings together families. It brings together people and communities as they enjoy the great deer hunt around Thanksgiving. I think all of that is very, very important.
But none of them are hunting with semi-automatic weapons, I don't think.
Right. I mean, I hear you on that. Thing is the question becomes is when we begin to have a conversation as far as we start talking about shotguns and rifles, and we start talking about what is the definition, and that's an important conversation to have. I mean, I have been very clear. There is no place for weapons of war on our streets. We need to make sure that we keep our community safe, and that needs to be done. We need to make sure that we provide that mental health funding. We need to close the Charleston loophole. We got to get ghost guns off the street. And of course, I was happy that we finally had a little bit of movement on a bipartisan basis when it came to the red flags. I think all of that is an important start. I think that, assault rifles, I mean, I recognize the concerns out there. I mean, the thing is this, I have had conversations with Congressman Ron Kind. I continue to speak with Congressman Ron Kind. But what's important here is the fact that Derek Von Orden tried to get on an airplane with a handgun. Let's focus on Derek Von Orden and the fact that this individual had no problem with his judgment or his character or his temperament. He decided it is okay to get on an airplane with a handgun. And it's my understanding it was a loaded handgun. What is going on there?
Now, I definitely want to focus more on Van Orden here in the couple of minutes. And before we get to him, just to kind of stay in the same rhythm that we've stayed with some of the other candidates, a couple of other topic areas, and then we're going to get into, you know, protecting democracy and people like Van Orden. But let's turn our attention to climate, natural resources. We have a Supreme Court decision that recently basically put under threat the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, again, there is a school of thought or a talking point, you know, that we need fewer regulations. We need fewer red tape. Then there's some of us that, you know, don't call them regulations. They're safeguards. They're protections for consumers, for workers, for the environment. But again, you're in a very competitive district. Where do you find that balance between protecting our natural resources versus those who think that you can overdo it and create too much red tape or burdens on businesses, farms, and others?
Well, again, I would encourage everyone to take a look at my record. I got 100% voting record, the League of Conservation Voters here in the state of Wisconsin. I've been endorsed by Clean Wisconsin. At the same time, I received an award as a Legislator of the Year from the Wisconsin Cheesemakers. I recognize the fact that we can find balance. What we have to do is we have to recognize the fact, the thing is these are not mutually exclusive goals. We can make sure that we continue to provide family-supporting jobs and create family-supporting jobs here in Western and Central Wisconsin, and also recognize the fact that our landscape is second to none. I represent the Driftless region here in the Wisconsin State Senate. I mean, the thing is this, is that it's our natural resources that draws people to this district. It is our wonderful landscape that makes that, you know, our ancestors came here and we never left. People come all the time. So how do we do this? Is we have to develop public policy that takes into account our natural landscape and our environment. But the thing is that with that West Virginia and EPA Supreme Court case is the fact that Congress didn't do its job. The reason why EPA was writing rules is because Congress was vague. Congress did not finish the work that they were supposed to do. And the thing is that as someone who has written policy, who's worked in order to try and find balance, the voters of this district will know that I am someone that understands how public policy is made. I have stood up to special interest in the past. And I have always fought for the people of this district. All right.
Let's turn then to some international issues, something that is going to be important for any member of Congress. It's not all about things back home, but, you know, what Congress does in terms of foreign policy. We don't have time to get into every little thing. So what I've done is, you know, you list a few of them, everything from, you know, Ukraine and China, trade with the EU and other allies and other adversaries. You know, even something as basic as passing veterans health legislation regarding burn pits for veterans who served, you know, overseas, things that don't happen in the 3rd Congressional District, but your vote would matter very much in any close vote in the House. What are your own priorities or areas of interest when it comes to international foreign policy issues?
Well, that's a very good question. And I thank you for asking that. I mean, I think, first of all, we always need to make sure that, you know, we protect America's interest, America's vital interest. We always need to make sure that we recognize that the fact that, you know, we have to make sure that the people back home here are safe and secure as well. And I will always, always do that. In order to do that, we need to make sure that we have an economy that is functioning. We need also need to make sure that we have a diplomatic corps that is in place that continues to you know, reach out to our friends and neighbors, our allies, but also our adversaries from around the world. We need to be able to do that. We need to continue to participate in you know, exchanges and learn from one another. All of that is extremely important. But the thing is this, is we need to make sure that we always recognize the fact that a member of Congress from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District must represent the people in this district. And that means that they need to be listening, they need to be hearing firsthand the concerns that are taking place. Also recognize the fact that the important role that America plays within this world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am proud of the fact that President Biden has organized the Western world and stood up to Putin in order to make sure that we don't have an aggressor from Moscow that just thinks he can walk into Ukraine and overtake another nation. I recognize the fact that we need to stand up, you know, to China, and we need to make sure that we've got a manufacturing policy and a monetary and fiscal policy that recognizes the fact that we just cannot allow China to dictate the terms of economic and financial policy in this world.
Well, what one thing that they have in common are these authoritarian regimes, something we were dangerously close to, it seemed, for a time on January 6, 2021, a series of lies and a downright attempt at a coup, and something where the presumptive nominee was on the Capitol grounds on
yes,
that day.
Was. Yes, he was.
And so exactly you, right. If you win this primary, you're going to be on a debate stage at some point with Derek Van Orden. What's the message you want to deliver to him in front of the voters of the 3rd District?
Well, Derek Van Orden is a clear and present danger. He's a threat to our democracy. Derek Van Orden does not have the temperament, the judgment, or the character to serve in Congress. And we can't have him anywhere near Washington, D.C. The thing is this, Derek Van Orden does not know this district. He does not know the people or the communities of this district. He recently moved into this district prior to the 2020 election, and then he runs against Congressman Ron Klein. He didn't articulate any issues when he was running. Instead, it was just, you know, bravado. The thing is this, the people of Western and Central Wisconsin, they know me. They know me. They know that I have stood up time and time again for their interest. They know I will continue to stand up for their interest. And I will stand up to make sure, regardless of political party, I will stand up to make sure the people of this district are heard and they get their fair share. I look forward to the opportunity to debate Derek Van Orden, and I hope we can do it multiple times.
Do you see any thing that needs to be done differently in terms of elections, security, accuracy, even allocation of resources? That are there any lessons to be learned from 2020, or is the main lesson of 2020 that a political class was willing to lie about it?
Well, the thing is that thank you for sharing that. I mean, you know, I speak with my municipal clerks and county clerks all the time. And the thing is these are hardworking people. They're doing a good job and making sure that they're providing, you know, individuals with the opportunity to vote. And the thing is that, you know, I have stood shoulder to shoulder with Governor Tony Evers and fought against these voting restriction measures that the Republicans have tried to put in place in Madison. Now we've got this former Supreme Court Justice, Michael Gabelman, that's wasting all of our taxpayer money, close to $1 million. And quite frankly, he's just boxing his shadows. There's absolutely nothing there.
You are being extremely kind to just say he's boxing at shadows compared to what he has done and what he has cost the taxpayers. And it's something that should be before the legislature more often in terms of oversight. I am sure the constituents appreciate what you're doing for that in the legislature. And we'll see what you do as a congressman, too, if you emerge from Tuesday's primary. Brad Pfaff, it was a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for articulating where you are on the issues and for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a great opportunity. Appreciate it.
Great. And again, fourth candidate to talk to, Mark Newman, will be the 9 o'clock hour on Thursday. We will be back to wrap up the show in just a minute. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is Up North News.